The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hey, friends, as you can tell, I'm at home because we just got back from vacation with family in North Carolina. And we drove through places that have higher numbers of positive COVID cases than Lincoln does. And so out of an abundance of caution, we have decided to isolate as a family for 2 weeks, just in case. And as we drove west back to Nebraska, Hurricane Isaias was hitting the part of the coast where we had just been. Now, I grew up with hurricane season every year. So we know how to expect chaotic winds, tormenting rains, sleepless nights, and prayer upon prayers for safety. So our gospel reading for today really hit home. This scene opens after Jesus and the disciples fed the thousands of hungry and sick and desperate in his outdoor banquet. And after everyone had eaten and collected the leftovers and the crowds had been dismissed, Jesus sent his disciples on their way across the lake in a boat. And he went up the mountain to breathe and pray. See, Jesus needed to recharge. He needed his time away with God. And then early in the morning, during the fourth watch, which is somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the point when the evening shadows begin to give way to the light of a new day, Jesus leaves his place of prayer and goes to his disciples who were battling chaotic winds in their boat. And as the story goes, he walked toward them on the sea. They think he's a ghost. Jesus reassures him that he's not a ghost and that it's him. Peter tests him to say, if it's really you, then command me to come to you on the waters. Jesus does. So Peter does. Peter gets out of the boat. Just think about that. Peter took the risk and actually got out of the boat like Jesus commanded. And he started walking on the water. And he came toward Jesus while walking on the water, who was walking toward him and the other disciples in the boat. But when Peter saw the strong winds, that's how the Greek has it. When Peter saw the strong wind, when he noticed all that was going on around him, all the challenges that were splashing in his face, his fear grew bigger than his faith. And then it's at that point when he saw all that was going on and he hesitated, instead of keeping his eye on Jesus, that he began to sink. And when he began to sink, because humans sink fast in water, he cried out in fear with anxiety rising up to his armpits, "Lord, save me." And what happened? Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you hesitate?" Which said another way is like, why didn't you trust me? I told you to come and you did. And then your fear got the best of you. As one commentary states, little faith is not faith that starts out in doubt. Peter starts off faithfully, but little faith is faith that starts in trust and fades in fear. And when they got in the boat, the wind, the fear, the chaos died down. And then they worshiped him. They worshiped him saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I don't know about you. I imagine it's true. But I have lived this story, though not on the sea. You see, when we lived abroad and I was teaching a class on worship and liturgy, I was teaching the part where I was having students prepare and practice celebrating one of the two sacraments, Holy Baptism or Holy Communion. And so we went to our little Lutheran congregation around from the seminary where I taught so that they could practice in kind of a real scenario. And as I prepared that very small sanctuary for the arrival of my students, I lit some candles and I prayed. And I prayed and I prayed boldly, not because I was afraid of my students or the class, but because it was at this point in our missionary experience that we were facing a lot. And I felt the rising waters of panic and stress and fear. And so I said aloud what I've come to call the Peter prayer, which is this one, "Lord, save us." And I cried out loud those words, and immediately I felt God's presence with me. And that real presence covered me with a wave of peace and assurance that God had grabbed a hold of my flailing arms. You see, I had surrendered. And when you get to the point of crying out, "Lord, save me," you are surrendering your control over the tremendously fearful situation before you. Surrender, giving it to God, letting go, whatever you want to call it, it's the same. And sometimes I think that in an imperial context, the word surrender has become equated with weakness, as in not victorious. And dominant centered history books tend to be written in such a way that the winners don't surrender. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, as anti-imperial followers of the way, we surrender to God. We trust Jesus. We trust in Jesus. And when our trust begins to thin and leak out like water through our fingers, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches you. I can imagine that you may be feeling the rising waters and waves of fatigue and fear and frustration around you now, because I feel them too. And as a pastor friend of mine in Minneapolis, Pastor Angela Kabeb, mentioned during her interview a few weeks ago on ABC News Live, that before the COVID pandemic exploded, we already had the pandemic of poverty and the pandemic of institutionalized racism and the pandemic of oppression and the pandemic of unemployment and the pandemic of homelessness. Y'all, the strong winds of evil and pain have been whipping up the waters for a while. They are big waves. I can see the strong winds around us. Can you? Because if we can see the strong winds, we might not be too far from sinking in fear. And yet, Jesus' voice can be heard through the wind. "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." So breathe, friends. Don't hyperventilate, breathe. Just breathe. breathe. And trust that Jesus sees your fear and your hesitation and your turmoil. Hear me when I say that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And you might not be facing many waves right now, but at some point in your life, they will come. The waters may be just gently lapping on the shores of your life right now, but one day the tsunami alerts will sound and you will feel like you're drowning. And when you feel that, Jesus will meet you in the storm. And he will call you to get out of the boat, to venture into the uncertainties, to come close to him. And yes, your fear may threaten to drown your faith at some point along those steps. But know deep in your heart that Jesus will grab hold of you. Since the news broke the other day about the tragic and devastating explosion in Beirut, Lebanon, that has killed nearly 140 people, left thousands wounded, displacing over 250,000 people, and decimating Beirut's bustling streets, we join our cries together with theirs, "Lord, save them." And in our country that continues to be pounded by incredible numbers of positive COVID-19 cases and the death toll rising daily, with our political mudslinging only worsening in the journey toward our national elections, and with our social lament and unsettlingness from centuries of hate, violence, oppression, and white supremacy, with all of that and so much more, we cry out together, "Lord, save us." No, really, pray it with me now. Lord, save us. Lord, save us. Lord, save us. And Scripture tells us, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Let it be so. Amen.